SOP 289. Today we're talking about podcast promotion, and we're going to talk a little bit about my little rant.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you. Really, I mean that. Thank you for tuning in, taking time out of your day to come here and listen to where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to producing, because everything you need to start a podcast you can find at theschoolofpodcasting.com. Now, if you want to contact me, I would love to hear from you. Super easy. My email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com, or you can call in your comments. It's toll-free, so if you're across the pond, just use your Skype out, and you can dial 888-563-3228 or just dial your cell phone. That number again, 888-563-3228. That is courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com, or you can leave a comment out at our website, which of course is schoolofpodcasting.com. And we're just going to jump right into it today. I told you in the last episode that I'd sent out an email to folks and saying, hey, what do you want to hear about? And the thing that keeps coming up over and over and over, which is understandably, you're working hard to create good content. You're doing everything you can, and you just want a bigger audience. So how do you get a bigger audience? How do you promote your podcast? So I want to thank Titus Nixon from SalonMediaNews.com, who had actually sent in this question. And there are a couple things. First of all, it really does, I've said this before, but we're going to expand on it. It does boil down to this. Find out who your audience is. Now, I realize in some cases that's hard to do because you just look at your Libsyn numbers and say, wow, I've got 60 people downloading it. But that's where things like having a feedback line. The great thing about this is I can see that Titus is calling me from California. Why? Because when he called into the toll-free line, I get their number. Now, I don't do anything with those numbers, obviously. And in some cases, if it's really a long answer that I need to provide, I will send them an email if they give me their email address, and then we'll actually get on the phone and answer the phone call. But you can get to know your audience by asking for feedback. If you, again, this is why you need an email address. That's why you need a phone number. Or again, there's always comments. These are ways that you can start to get to know your audience. And to get them to do that, you have to ask them for feedback. And if you listen to the Six Pixels of Separation podcast, that is all based on listener feedback. And the person that does that podcast asks for feedback almost per nauseum, but he gets a lot of feedback. Another way to get feedback, I just was notified about this, and I kind of go, okay, it's free at this point. If you go to SpeakPipe, so SpeakPipe, it's in beta right now, and it puts a little button on your website, so that if somebody has a microphone, they can actually leave you a message and you can retrieve it right there. But to me, I'm like going, if you already have a microphone, just record something in Audacity or whatever and send it to me as an MP3 file. But this makes it a little easier, and it's a beta thing. Again, speakpipe.com. I haven't used the service yet, just signed up for it yesterday, so I'll be talking about that in the future as well. Another way to know your audience is to join forums of those kind of topics. If you go to big-boards.com, it is a list of popular forums. And so you can go over there. Now, be careful about this. You just don't want to go up and go, hi, listen to my podcast. The idea here is, and this is something that I think I really realized in 2011, and that is you build your audience one listener at a time. And as much as I would like to go into I'll give you an example. I do a podcast for musicians, so I will keep my eye open for what are called jam nights. And that's where a club or a restaurant will basically have a bunch of musicians get together and you all take turns playing on stage. Well, hello, there's my target audience for my musician podcast. So I go there and I hand out business cards that simply promote the website, explain what it is, and it's all about, hey, go to the website and listen, that type of thing. So that's great because I can go into a room with a bunch of people there and knock off a bunch at once. But I'm handing out a business card one person at a time. And as much as we would love to just find some sort of website where we can go into some sort of news list and go, everybody listen to my podcast, here's the website, and just boom, have 1,000 new listeners, that's just not realistic. You're going to build your audience by A, delivering great content, and B, one person at a time. And the great thing about this is that I'm finding out, at least more, I think, that as I step back and look at this, when you create a relationship with one person and you go, wow, I know this person now, or I like this person and I know a little bit about them and I know really what they're going through, it gives you great topics for your podcast. It's advantageous to build your audience one person at a time because it builds a more loyal audience. So again, the bottom line in this is know your audience. You can do that by, again, feedback on your website, going to forums. I know, I'll give you another example of that. There is a podcast I do for weight loss. You can find it at logicalloss.com. And one of the tools that I found from my audience is a software program called Lose It. You can find it at loseit.com. Well, loseit.com has a forum. So I went over, filled out a profile, said that I am the host of the Logical Weight Loss Podcast at logicalloss.com. And then I just go over and I answer questions and I'm making friends over there. So it's, hi, meet Dave. Let them think Dave's a good guy. And oh, by the way, I have a podcast. It's not, hi, I have a podcast. And if you'd like to, you can get to know me. That is backwards. So you can use forums and you can just, whatever it takes, go to where your audience is and get to know them, know what they like, know what their problems are, know what they're facing. And that will give you an idea then in terms of what should I be covering on your podcast. So step one, know your audience. We're going to do that through feedback. We're going to do that through finding people, finding that group. And there's also a great website, meetup.com, that you may be able to find a group of people that enjoy your same interest. When in doubt, your good friend Google might be able to help you find who you think your audience is. And don't always think that it's obvious. I had a friend of mine tell me once about my weight loss podcast. I said, yeah, I want to do some things with gyms and things like that. He goes, that's good. Those are people that are interested in fitness. He goes, but there are people that need to lose weight. And he goes, think about where there are overweight people. And I was like, He goes, yeah, maybe a hair salon or something like that. And I'm like, well, that's a different idea. So in some cases, the idea may not be quite so obvious. Then it's a matter of telling them about your podcast. So think about some sort of little 15-second elevator pitch that's going to entice people to listen to your podcast. In other words, why should you listen to my podcast? And so for the Logical Weight Loss Podcast, it's motivational stories, it's insights into geekery for, you know, fitness gadgets, things like that. But the 15-second elevator pitches, it's a no-nonsense approach to weight loss. So if somebody said, oh, the Logical Weight Loss Podcast, what's it about? It's my travels of trying to lose weight, but in the nutshell, it's a no-nonsense approach to weight loss. If somebody said, the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, what's that about? I say, well, it's where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to producing and everything in between. So if you're interested in podcasting, hopefully that would entice you enough to go, oh, well, I want to know about podcasting. I'll go listen to that. So you can have that ready. So if somebody says, tell me about your podcast, you go, it's a pod, right? Be ready for that. Say it a couple times. Make sure that it's something that will roll off the tongue because you don't want to sit there and go, it's the pod-ti-ta, right? So have that ready. Be ready to tell people about your podcast. Now, in terms of how can you tell people about your podcast? How can you get them to your website? How can you leave them a trail back to your website? A couple things you can do. I've already mentioned, I have business cards that have nothing to do with contacting me. They have the logo of my podcast. They'll have the name of the podcast. They'll have the website in rather large print, and then some sort of reason for people to go there. So for the Marketing Musician podcast, it says free music marketing tips. Then it has the website, and then it will also say also available in iTunes. This makes you look official. So that's one way. Have business cards. Business cards are ridiculously cheap when you think about it. They are typically anywhere from a nickel to a dime a piece, depending on how crazy you want to do that. And they're so easy to put just anywhere. But I use business cards a lot, and I always, always have one in my wallet. Always have them in my car's glove box. So if I know somebody, I can say, oh, you know what? Let me go get a card. Hopefully I have them in my wallet, things of that nature. And then here's the other one. Make sure your family has your business card so that if somebody's talking about this and this and that, and they go, oh, wow, my husband does a podcast about podcasting. Here's his card. If you want to know more about that, you can hear about and get his free tips over at his website. Or, oh, my cousin does a podcast, or my son, or my whoever, here's their card. Your family can be a great marketing team. And it's not so much that they're going out looking to say that, but they are going to stumble across people. I know my sister-in-law is a teacher in a public school system, and I've designed websites for people that she's just happened to run across. They're like going, yeah, I'm going to start a small business during the summer. Oh, do you need a website? Oh, my brother-in-law does that. So don't forget about your family being your cheerleader. So that's one way to do it. Another way that you can put your content in people's hands is via CDs. You can actually take kind of the best of your website and make it into quick little snippets of your podcast. Now, you can put a whole episode if you want, but the idea is to entice them into listening to your show. So they need to know what it is, you know, the who, what, why, when, and how. So answer those questions and be sure to keep beating them over the head with your website address, because the one thing you want them to remember, because they're listening to this on a CD, is your website. So you could start it off with, hi, this is me, a little introduction to who I am, why I do this, why I do the podcast, and here are some quick tips. And realize just because you can put 80 minutes on a CD does not mean you need to fill it up with 80 minutes. Our goal is to get them to go to the website so that hopefully they subscribe on iTunes, they subscribe via your email, things like that. So just give them enough to go, wow, that was pretty cool. There's nothing wrong with leaving them wanting more, as opposed to, oh my gosh, is there another one on here that I got to listen to? Make sure your CD looks professional. I've mentioned this in the past. If you go to Kunaki, it's KUNAKI.com, you can get a CD in a shrink wrap case for around $1. It's crazy, crazy cheap. Why? Because they have no customer service. They just, that's all they do. No special orders, no nothing. Full color CD with even the little booklet in there. And that's, they do one thing. They do it well. They do it efficiently. And that's it. If you want a special order, go someplace else. So that's one way that you can promote your podcast. And I've heard people doing things like, you know, they'll rent a car and they'll leave the CD in the CD player. That's kind of cute. Things of that nature. Or I've done this. I've gone to, again, if I go to my podcast about four musicians, I'll go to the local music store and they have all sorts of flyers and things there at the front door. And I will leave a CD that says, you guessed it, free music marketing tips. They put it in, they hear me, they hear what's on the podcast. And again, I beat them over the head to go to the website. Now you can also have flyers. You can do a simple flyer in Microsoft Word. And this could be one of those where, again, explain, think of this, WIF, how's that go? What's in it for them is what I'm looking for. You know, why should I listen to your podcast? Think about that. And so when you're making a flyer, make it big, you know, have your logo there. This is why you need album art. And so put it there, and at the bottom, make it so that people can tear off your website and take it with you. And here's the other key. When you hang it up, tear one of those off. This gives your flyer a perceived value, because obviously there must be something on there to read because somebody took one already. I've tested this at a college that I went to, and I've tested at a college that I actually teach at, and it's amazing. If you put one up with none of those things at the bottom ripped off, nobody will go over and read it. You rip one or two off, and people will go over and check it out and take off more. It's a perceived value. So that's another way that you can do that. Now, the great thing about that, if you go to cutepdf.com, you can actually have a, whatever you did it in, Word or, you know, whatever you've used to make your little flyer, you can turn it into a PDF. Well, why do you want it in a PDF? Because now you can get your audience to promote your podcast, because it may be a case where the more the merrier, the more people will listen, there are more ideas, more things are people are chiming in. So you can actually tell your audience, hey, you know, if you'd like to help the show, if you'd like to support us, of course, you can always leave a review for us in iTunes, things like that. But you can also go out to the website and you can have a page on things like, here's some tips to put the podcast, et cetera, et cetera. And one of those could be download this flyer, print it out, and hang it up in your lunchroom, hang it up at your meetup group, hang it up at wherever you're going. If you are hanging out with people that would like this podcast, please let them know by clicking and dragging this and clicking and printing this. And they will do that as well. Now, another way you can actually have people put your podcast on their website is, let me give you a link here. It's player, P-L-A-Y-E-R, dot podtrack. That is podtrac.com. And what you can do is put in your RSS feed, so you'll need to know that, and put that into the website there. You can pick how you want it to work. It could be an embeddable player where people can just click and listen, or it could be a button that people click on and it will launch a player that will start when they click on the button. It's up to them. They can pick the color, things like that. You could do that. So you can pick out what you want and then put the code on your website. So you could say to your audience, hey, if you have a website and you would like to have a button where you could listen to this podcast on your website for your audience, go ahead and just copy and paste this code into your website. And they will actually have a player. They will have your podcast on their website. And depending on the scenario, some people may want to do that. So that's another way that you can get your content into the hands of your potential audience. So let's review those again. Business cards, CDs, flyers, digital flyers, right? Paper flyers you can hang up at places where you think your audience is going to be. Digital flyers are things you can put on your website for your audience to download and print out, as well as if you go to player.podtrack.com, you could put in your RSS feed and then take that code, put it on your website for people to copy and paste into their website and put a player of your podcast on their website. I did an idea once where I made a flyer for my musician podcast and I said, if you go to the local guitar center, again, where my typical audience is, go there and hang it up and take a picture of it. Email me the picture. I will give you a copy of my book, which is what I did. I have a book for musicians. And so I had a few people take me up on that. It was fun to do. It allowed me, again, when they sent in the picture, I got their email address and I was able to then start a conversation with them, not a spam, just, hey, thanks so much, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what, you know, what kind of instrument do you play? The same thing I would do with any other musician. Oh, you're a musician? I'm a musician too. You know, what do you play? Not, hey, buy my book. It's always about building that relationship and then pointing people to your podcast. If we look at this, this is nothing new. The best marketer in the world, I'm going to get all preachy on you here now, so if you're offended by religion, hang on for a second, but think about this. The best marketer in the world was Jesus Christ, and he went up to people, in many cases, people that other people would not even associate with, like tax collectors. He befriended them and then simply turned them on to what he was into. So it was all about making that personal connection first, and then, oh, by the way, let me tell you about my father, right? So it's the same thing. Get to know people first, then tell them about your content and make your content as good as it can be. Now, some other things in terms of building a loyal audience that really aren't promotional ideas are things like trying to keep to a schedule. And this is where, especially now here in Ohio, we just got bombarded with snow. And I've already had my first cold of the season. I've actually almost got over it. And what I should probably do, if I was smart, is start looking for something that's evergreen. You want some sort of evergreen topic. And so that on those times when you are not feeling well, you can actually have a episode that you can put out anytime. And so keep that in mind. Try to have a regular scheduled and keep to that schedule. It does a couple of things. Number one, obviously it gives people another chance to get to know you, and it gives you a chance to move your audience, but it also then puts you as a reliable person. Not only you're a great friend, not only you are a helpful friend, but you're reliable. So those are just some ways that you can promote your podcast. Would love to hear what you're doing. Would love to hear what you are doing. Maybe we'll talk about more about this in the future, because I've got more ideas, but I see we're already at the 22-minute mark. And, you know, there are all sorts of great tools you can have made. You know, there are, you know, websites like Cafe Press where you can have t-shirts made and you can have coasters made and put the coasters in the bar that talk about your time. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And you will see what it all boils down to. Find out where your audience is. Go there, meet them, and tell them about your audience. Tell them about your audience. Yeah, tell them about your podcast. Right? So, there you go. Hope that answers some of your questions on that. This would be a great roundtable sort of topic. So, if you have any ideas, anything you're doing, anything that's working, feel free to email me again, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments, 888-563-3228, or leave a comment out at our website, out at schoolofpodcasting.com. Alrighty. Well, if you are a reader of my blog, you can read it at davidjackson.org, and you might have thought that, wow, Dave was a little harsh, which I was a little harsh. I wrote a blog post, and the headline of it was, Corey Dietz has his head up his ass when it comes to podcasting. And like, wow. Well, the reason I said head up his ass is because Corey has a podcast called Head Up Your Ass Headline. So that's where I got that. Thought it was kind of cute. Thought it was kind of funny. But here is the thing. And actually, Corey has emailed me, and I emailed him. And first thing I want to say is Corey is a radio guy. And he's been in radio for many, many, many years. He's actually he's in Arkansas, does a morning radio show there with his partner that they've been on the air for a long time. And I say this knowing now, as I have helped some people that are actually in radio, it is very, almost impossible to create entertaining radio because of all the rules. We talked about this in a couple episodes ago with Scott Eagland, that it's hard to create good radio. And I salute anybody who is making it in radio. It's a very, very hard industry to be creative, to be entertaining, and to move people when you've got to do it in, you know, 3.5 minutes and hit your target and be sure to hit weather and traffic, right? What bothers me though about radio guys. So I'm not picking on radio guys. I'm picking on radio guys who come out and say they are podcast consultants, that they are podcasting experts. You're allowed to do that by all means, but if you give podcasting advice and it is just flamingly wrong, it drives me bananas. Why? Because I help people. My core value is helping people, and many people I have helped who have taken advice from radio guys, and they listen to them. Why? Because he's been on the radio, and they get horrible advice. And here's one of my favorite quotes. It says, the original idea of subscribing to podcast has become diluted. Can we back that one up? The original idea of subscribing to podcast has become diluted. Sure, thousands of podcasts can still be subscribed. You know, the ones that are in the iTunes store, right? You know, the ones that are in the BlackBerry store. You know, the one that used to be in the Zoom marketplace, well, still is in the Zoom. You know, all the ones with, oh, I don't know, RSS feeds. Sure, he says, thousands of podcasts can still be, and he even puts in quotation marks, subscribed. Those aren't quotation marks. People are subscribed, just like you subscribe to a magazine and it shows up at your house. It's a subscription. It's free. He says, two, and the other audio is automatically delivered to your computer. Well, you know why those thousands of podcasts are like that? Because that's what makes a podcast a podcast. But he continues on. But now, just placing an audio file online at your website and informing users to click to listen to your podcast on demand is sufficient. Most browsers know how to handle and stream an audio file that is clicked on. And he says, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. To this, I said, okay, let's go with the duck analogy. Because I drive on the expressway every day, I'm a NASCAR guru. I drive, I can turn left, I even drink Mountain Dew. Therefore, I am a NASCAR driver. No, what you have is not a podcast. And this drives me, obviously, nuts. What you have is audio on a website. And if I want your audio, I have to go to your website and click to it. It's not going to come to me like, oh, I don't know, a podcast. You know, you can buy a BB King guitar and I can dress up in a suit to play it. It doesn't make me BB King. So the whole, if it looks and smells like a duck, blah, blah, blah. And I quoted Wikipedia, the book of knowledge, of course. A podcast is a type of digital media consisting of an episodic series of files, either audio or video, which is one thing he didn't even mention. It can be video. It could even be a PDF. Subscribed to and downloaded through web syndication. So that's, I just went ballistic. Unfortunately, Craig just happened to catch me after I've helped more people again that are just getting bad advice. And so it just, and then he later went on to recommend Blog Talk Radio, which you've heard me, you've heard Cliff Ravenscraft, you've heard Daniel J. Lewis, you've heard Ray Ortega, and all the other podcast consultants that you and I know say, wow, that particular service sucks, as does Podbean and Podomatic, the three services that my good, you know, podcasting expert who's had 20 years in radio, which I just want to go, do you have any idea what you're talking about? Or did you just go over and read their about page? I found his podcast in iTunes and all of his album art was missing. Now, according to Craig, who emailed me after this and said, hey, thanks for ripping me a new one, basically. He said, because he's in radio, Clear Channel owns his RSS feed. And that's why it needs updated. And he said, yep, guilty as charged. I need that. And for the record, Craig pointed out that I had originally said he was in, I think, Arkansas or Arizona, and he's in Arkansas. So I had a typo, and I was like, all right, guilty as charged on that one. I said, I'm not a writer. He is. He actually writes books as well. Again, talented guy. But it just drove me bonkers again. And then he was doing things like all of his titles of his episodes are called Head Up Your Ass Headlines, and then the date. And I'm like, nobody's looking for that. Now, here's where I cross the line. And I put at the bottom, because I was looking for a word that began with D to go with his duck line. And I had one that I didn't use. But I ended up with the word douche. And to me, I actually hear that word more than I used to in the past. It's kind of a nincompoop kind of, at least in my circles. It's not a hugely, it's not a extreme name. It's not something that people go, oh, you called him what? You know, it's like, hey, what a douche. So I put at the bottom of my article, if it looks like a douche and quacks like a douche, it's a douche. So Craig in his actually emailed me, said, hey, greetings from the douche. So he actually has won awards in radio. So again, I wasn't cracking his radio talent. And obviously if he's been in radio for the longest time, I'm just like, and he even in his email, again, stated that podcasting has changed. And I'm like, no, it hasn't. It's still, yes, you can stream podcasting. If you go to, you know, schoolofpodcasting.com, or actually if you go to davidjackson.org, you'll see where I have players. We talked about the PodTrack player today. I've got one for all of my podcasts on there. Now, how is that so easy to do? Because it has an RSS feed. That's what makes it a podcast. So I won't go on that, but if you saw my blog post and went, wow, Dave was real harsh. He's using the A word and blah, blah, it's because that's what the guy's podcast is called. And it was kind of nasty, but anytime I tend to rip from someone to shreds, some people are like, well, hey, if you can't say, you know, go the Bambi route. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. After all, you just quoted Jesus. And I'm like, you know what? You might have a point there, but, and that is true. In looking back, I should have just taken a pill. I actually did sleep on this post and I just went, no, that's wrong. I shouldn't have called him a name. That I regret. And I did apologize to Craig. I said, you know, I should have taken the, I shouldn't have called you a name. I said, but I was playing with the D word and the duck thing. And, you know, and he kind of said, hey, look, I'm in radio. People, you know, rip us all the time, you know, so he's kind of used to it. But he said he won't have me on his show. So I'm very tempted to call another morning radio show and give him the business anyway. But anyway, my point here is a last way to get exposure, because I put this on Twitter and it kind of went somewhat popular, is to start a feud with somebody. Because if you can get somebody who's popular to talk about you on their show, that's another form. However, I don't recommend this one. I don't have the stomach for this. If I wrote a flaming post every time I found somebody who was giving bad advice, my post would just be all that. I run into that a lot. This was just so obviously wrong when he's saying the original idea of subscribing to a podcast has been diluted. No, it hasn't. A podcast is still audio or video delivered via subscription. That hasn't changed. Sorry. Radio is still radio. And anyway, so if you saw that post, that's that. And that's why I put this at the end of the show. And this is my last tip before we get out the door. And I learned this from a radio guy, and that is when you start off the show, you put your best stuff first. That's the opposite of what I've been doing. I've been putting the main story at the end. And I was listening to the Jim Rome show, who is syndicated across the country, does sports show, and great guy, very, very popular, very, very loyal audience. And he was talking about how somebody was messing with his radio show and they were playing a clip from it. And he said, wow, whatever they were talking about was horrible. And he says, everybody in radio knows you start off with your top story and your best story because it gets people to stay tuned. And so that would be my tip to you, because I always, if you are on Stitcher.com, that is a streaming service that allows people to listen to your podcast without downloading it. If you go to Stitcher.com, they're going to ask you for a code. Just put in Dave J, and that will let you download the app. And it's interesting because you can actually see how long people have listened to your podcast. And so that to me is going, I'm going to start putting my best information first, which is why I had the rant thing here at the end, in case you didn't make it here. So you might want to look into that. Stitchers, Stitcher.com. You can sign up and get your podcast there. Assuming again that you have, you guessed it, an RSS feed. So why? Because your podcast, then you can't submit your podcast if it's just audio on a website, Mr. Dietz. So keep that in mind. If you're looking to start a podcast and you want somebody who's going to tell it to you straight, who's going to give you the straight up honesty, then the School of Podcasting has everything you need to start a podcast. You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. You can email me, Dave, at schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments, 888-563-3228. Mr. Dietz, I would love to hear from you. I told him, I invited him on the show. I said, hey, if you want to come on and tell everybody I'm an idiot, feel free. And so that is an open invitation, Craig, because he graduated from Kent State. That's right around the corner from me. I would love to discuss this with him, and I would actually love to help him with his website. He's using some really archaic means to create his podcast. But I would love to have you on the inside watching the tutorials, walking you through the entire process of starting your podcast. It's all there at theschoolofpodcasting.com. So thanks for listening, and until next week, class is dismissed. And don't be tardy.